Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, April 7th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
I'm doing well.
Awesome. Glad you're here. And also, Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. I'm glad you're both here. And I'm glad you're here because the other day I had a discussion about subscription software, and I thought it was a really good discussion. I had Dave Hamilton, John Martellaro, and then Greg Scown from Smile Software on. And I thought people have had a couple more days to think about this, and it would be right about time to take another look at this from the perspective of other people. And that's why I wanted both of you on the show today. And Adam, before the show, you were talking a little bit about how this is making you, just the whole subscription software thing, is making you rethink how you are going to be purchasing and then using your software.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, for me, it's not just subscription software. It's the subscription model that our lives seem to be moving towards, i.e. most of the things I have now seem to require some sort of subscription, be it my iPhone with data plans or my internet service or my entertainment services. So things like Apple Music, my storage services, my backup services. And what it's gotten me thinking a lot more about that I think is, you know, maybe not factored in when a developer is considering a subscription model or somebody else is considering a subscription model. And to be fair, I have my own subscription model on my podcast. I have a premium version. So that's an entertainment kind of subscription. But what it's gotten me thinking about is that, am I going to reach a point and what I'm calling sort of an in-out problem or an input-output problem, whereas I bring in so much money every month and so much money goes out every month to different things, and it's making me become hyper aware of and critical of, you know, what things am I going to, when it comes to a subscription, where am I going to put that money? And I have to start to really analyze, okay, how important is that this tool or how important is this piece of entertainment to my life? And for some subscriptions, they're really non-negotiable. So things like, you know, my bills every month that I have to pay for electricity and heating my house, well, I can't, that's a thing I can't have go away, or my mortgage. Mm-hmm. But HBO, Apple Music, yeah, can I have that? But now I have to start to analyze when more of my software goes subscriptions. Okay, what do I care about more? Do I care more about Apple Music or this utility that I have or Adobe Photoshop or, you know, what are the things that I need to run my business? So I think it's, we're moving towards this point where more and more people are having to really evaluate each individual subscription thing and determine its merits for them and, you know, outside of whatever decisions developers are making to support their business or whatever else is going on. And it's just an interesting thing that I don't see a lot of people talking about. And I've been thinking a lot about lately.
Yeah. It's something that I've started thinking about more as well, because unless you are making money on a scale that I just simply can't even comprehend, everyone has a finite income. And at some point, I am eating too much into my finite income. So right. I have to think about which apps I really do need and why. And I'm becoming more critical in that process.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when it was a typical, I would have a piece of software and then a new upgrade would come and it would be, you know, a discounted price and we had that option. And there's also a timing factor. So it was sort of a less of a decision. It's like, oh, I like this tool. It's $20. I have an extra $20 lying around this month. I can afford it. But when it becomes, you know, even when the net is the same. So, you know, even if it becomes, oh, it's $1.50 a month or $2 a month. So it's, you know, now $24 a year. And maybe I spent $24 a year previously. I was sort of outlaying that all at once, right? So it was like $20 went out and I was able to pay it because, hey, I had an extra $20 that month. But what happens in the months when I don't have an extra $20 or when it becomes every month, and then each thing becomes additive in that monthly thing. So the, in aggregate, and this is what I'm calling this sort of input-output problem, it's like I have to look, okay, every month this little bit of money goes out, and yeah, it's a little bit of money, and it's would seem not like a big deal, but when it starts to aggregate, it becomes a much bigger deal, at least for me. I mean, that's sort of what I'm experiencing is like, okay, this is 15, and you start to add it all up, and then you realize, oh, well, each month I only have this much coming in, and now my going out is, you know, a higher percentage of that. And it puts a little stress on your finances. And why it's different when the aggregate amount, you know, yearly might be exactly the same is an interesting thing to me and something I hadn't had to think about before.
I think you're missing the obvious solution.
Make more money?
Make more money, yeah. Duh. Now, the stress you're talking about is compounded by the friction you're talking about, is compounded by the fact that what makes a lot of software purchases or any other purchases possible is at this particular moment, you have an amount of free cash.
Right.
And you can choose to spend that free cash, but the way we've always thought about things before, once we make that purchase, it's done. Right. And so the next time you're going to want to make another purchase, you're going to wait until you have enough free cash to do so. Right. And what's happening as we put more and more of our products, you know, in your list of things that you were looking at that are subscription based, you know, for a lot of us, we can even count our iPhones now.
Right.
Because, yeah. You know,
that's true.
Any plan where you can upgrade every year and you turn in your old device and get a new one at the end of the year, that's essentially subscription hardware. But as more and more of our income goes towards subscriptions, we actually have at any given moment less of a chance of having any free cash for any one-time purchase we might want to buy.
Right.
And I think that's probably really at the heart of the angst you're going through over this.
Well, yeah, and another thing with especially with subscription software is you also would reevaluate every month, and you also have the dilemma of, you know, when it wasn't subscription, I could have the option when the upgrade came around, right? I can upgrade then, or if I didn't have that free cash, maybe I could delay that upgrade a month or two. Mm-hmm. Now with a subscription, if you don't, it's, you know, very often if you don't buy it, then you lose the service entirely or after a delay. So like Photoshop or the Adobe Creative Cloud is a great example of that, right? I think you get about, 30 days or something after, you know, so you can kind of pull your stuff off. But then after that, you don't have access to the software. I know not all are working that way. You know, in some cases you can still, you know, use the software or at least partial features of the software. But again, you don't have that sort of delayed option like, hey, I don't have the $30 this month to upgrade. I probably will next month or I will in 2 weeks. I'm just going to delay the decision a little bit. But, you know, when it becomes to subscriptions, it sort of becomes this all or nothing thing, which is, again, another sort of stressor that people have. So, you know, when you see people reacting, I think, negatively to subscription models, I think some of that comes from this bigger angst that's, you know, not just directed at a single developer or a single subscription model or a single thing. I think it's a broader thing that a lot of people are feeling. And that's sort of the thing that I've been thinking about, because I've been sort of feeling those stresses and those decisions more and more recently.
Well, you know, a lot of the angst and anxiety and anger that has been generated over Smile's move to on this particular piece of software is entirely self-inflicted on Smile's part, in my opinion. They are moving from a one-time purchase model with upgrade pricing, they're also raising the price at the same time. And so, and that's just, if you were the type of person who upgraded something like Text Expander every other year, you've gone from paying, what was the old price, $37.95?
Yes.
And what was upgrade pricing typically? Is it half that?
About, yeah.
Typically. Yeah, I think it was around, yeah.
So, you know, you're looking at going from paying $50 every 2 years to $100 every 2 years.
Right, about $50 a year.
And yeah. and that's a that in my opinion that was a. That was a bad tactical the decision on Smile's part. Well, I believe that the yearly price should have come, the yearly subscription price, because subscription pricing is so much better for developers that if they're going to move to a subscription pricing structure, that the price for a year should be at least somewhat less, if not modestly less, than the price of a single license.
Well, again, I don't know that that's necessarily clear, because we're not privy to sort of how a company makes their money, right? So they may have already evaluated and decided, you know, we have a lot of customers who, you know, do pay X, and they're doing it because, you know, it's easy and it's at a certain price point. But you don't know where the sort of the crossover happens where, hey, if we have fewer customers that pay more, we'll actually make more money versus, you know. And unfortunately, in the process, you may anger a lot of the customers who are, you know, on that side of, hey, this is a tool I like to use. I can afford to use it, so I buy it. And this is another thing that I think subscription is bringing to a head for a lot of people, is it really does force you to sit down and evaluate the value of each piece of software in each thing that you're using, and you have to sort of make that choice. But I don't like the argument that some people are throwing out there that, like, this is something that developers maybe didn't think about or didn't factor in, or that they're just doing it, you know. It becomes a very personal thing for, I think, a lot of people, because, hey, I like this company, I like these tools, you know, I want to just stick with what I already have, but there may be some very hard and valid business decisions that the company had to make, and they've already looked at the revenue, and unfortunately, you know, some people are going to sort of get hurt by it, or have to go find an alternative, or look for something else, or just stop using the software altogether. But I think most developers are probably intelligent about the decision and have thought about these factors, and unfortunately, like, some customers are going to get hit in a transition like this. Yeah, but it's not personal, and a lot of people make it personal, or seem to be making it personal.
Well, considering how people feel just in general about their Macs, they're right. Not just tools. They are these very personal devices. Right. And so I think it's very easy to then look at the apps that we use and rely on all the time as a personal extension of that. And I think we're seeing that now with Smile's Text Expander. When I first really started noticing this happen was with Adobe Creative Cloud, when they moved to a subscription model. And there were a lot of people, if you go back to what you said earlier in the show, Brian, about people maybe not updating to a new version every time it comes out, in comparison, you are suddenly paying a lot more for your software. For people that look at these tools, whether it's Creative Cloud or Office 365 or Text Expander, as a critical business tool for them and something that makes their job happen, then it changes the value of the software for those people. And they're the people that are going to be updating as quickly as they can to make sure that they have the features that they need, to make sure that their competitors aren't leapfrogging them. And for those people, the subscription pricing model probably isn't going to be as big of a deal. But for the, what I'll call the more casual user, that bought into Text Expander because they love the Mac and they love Mac software and they love smaller developers and this is just cool, and the value in moving to subscription for those people is going to be a much harder sell.
There's also the advantage that, you know, Dave wrote a piece on TMO this week talking about this a little bit, and he did point out, you know, one of the big advantages of something like a subscription model, especially for the kind of customer that you're talking about, Jeff. So for me, like, yeah, Creative Cloud seemed like a little bit of an insult, but it's a tool that I've always used for running my business and doing what I need to do. having now switched over, I really kind of recognize the value in it because they're constantly now able to push out little updates and little new feature enhancements and things like that. So, you know, a lot of people are looking at the Smile thing and going, oh, well, you're not giving us a lot of new stuff here, and I don't see where the value is. But the value may come over time because now they don't have to wait and aggregate and put a bunch of features together to do a big update once a year. They can push a small update out every month. So over the course of a year, that your software gradually becomes more and more valuable, and they're not having to wait on revenue to come in all at once. You know, they've got a steady stream. So there's a lot of business reasons behind this. But, you know, it does create a lot of complexity, as we sort of started out talking out in the beginning of this, with consumers. And it really starts to divide up consumers to, you know, Who are we going to sell to, and who are the consumers that this is for, and who's going to benefit from the subscriptions, and who is not? And there is a large percentage of people that are not going to benefit from a subscription model for certain pieces of software, and those people are probably going to make the choice to look for something else and move on. But the last thing I want to say about that part is, you know, there's a lot of people out there too trying to throw on the consumer, well, if you don't support the subscription model, or if you don't do that, then you're a bad person, and you're not supporting developers, and you're not supporting the community. And I don't like seeing that happen either, because again, it's perfectly fine if your favorite piece of software moves to a subscription model and you evaluate it and you look at it and go, you know, I really can't afford that higher price. I'm going to have to look for something else. I think the developers already know about that. So I think it's sort of insulting to the consumer and the developer to throw that argument at people, because, you know, I think everybody on both sides have thought about this. But again, it gets to that emotional side where you go, I really love this piece of software and I hate to see it go, you know what, but I evaluated it and I can't afford the new price and I'm going to have to look for something else or not use it. And people feel bad about that. But, you know, to have other people look at them and say, oh, well, then you're not interested in supporting that developer, you know, that's not really what's going on here. There's a more complex decision that's being made there. And so I think people need to stop doing that. And a lot of that was being thrown around on Twitter this week.
Yeah, there's a lot of hate fest happening. But yeah, we're getting close to out of time. But Brian, I want to make sure that if you have anything else you want to add, you get to do that.
It's a complex issue, and the folks at Smile, I'm a huge fan of Smile in general. I'm a fan of their products. I'm a fan of the people that actually work there. I'm a fan of the principals. I know that they put a lot of thought into what they're doing. Doesn't mean that they necessarily made the right decision on how to do this. There's the what you get half off the subscription if you have.
The current subscriber, yeah, for the first year.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that a lot of people don't know that. And Smile has not done a good job of screaming that from the highest rooftops. And just because they put in a lot of thought doesn't necessarily mean they made the right decision. Actually, I would argue that the reaction from folks is the proof in the pudding that they didn't hit the right price point for subscriptions.
And I will disagree with that, but I am willing to change my what I'm thinking based on how this plays out. People said the same thing about Adobe with Creative Cloud, and yeah, and that has turned out to not be an issue. And the number of Adobe product users has actually gone up since they moved to a subscription model.
Adobe's actually, again, more proof in my pudding, because Adobe's pricing was less on a yearly basis than buying the suite of software outright.
Yeah, if depends on what you were buying.
Yeah, really, depends right? on what you're buying and how often you would upgrade.
But the 1 year's price was less than the old purchase price. 1 year's subscription was less than the old purchase price. Not by a lot, but a little bit.
All right, I will give you that.
And I personally think that's the way to do it. If you need to, you know, rolling a price increase in addition to a you know, moving from a purchase to a rental model, that to me is not the best way to do it. It's not the way.
It's a little hard to swallow for some people, for sure.
Sure. Yeah. And with that, we're just going to have to wrap up because we are out of time. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely.
And Adam, thank you for being here as well.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I thought this is a really nice follow-up discussion to our earlier talk this week. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.